to Solid Rock Church. Come on, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on Easter Sunday morning? We're so glad you're watching online. For those of you that are watching, come on, come in and worship with us. God, we bless your name this morning. Come on, let's worship our resurrected King. This morning. Come on, if you believe it, I want you to lift your hands. Come on, the sacrifice that he made for you and I is worth our best praise this morning. Come on, can we just love on him? We love you, Jesus. God, we give you the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we give you worship this morning.
Above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men,
There's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and
for your
because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. I love this part. All fear is gone. Can you lift your voice? Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Let me hear you say. Can you give our risen Savior a hand clap and a shout this morning? He's alive. He's alive. Woo! We are so excited about y'all being here today. Listen, we're going to take up an offering. And so I want you to just get, if you need to get back to your purse or whatever, get to your wallet. If you need to go borrow some money, then go. If you're up front, turn around to somebody if you have to. And we're going to take up an offering. You don't have to sit down. We're just going to continue worshiping the Lord here in our praise and our worship. I'm telling you, you know what? Might as well, it's a good opportunity, good time to acknowledge anybody who's here for the first time. Anybody here for the first time, wave at me real quick. I see, praise God, glad y'all are here this morning. Yeah, right after service, make sure you stop out at our Welcome Center. And it's out in the foyer. We've got something special for you. We love all of our internet audience that's watching online right now. Listen, if you're watching online, there are a few ways you can give. You can give through the website, through the app, or you can text your gift by texting the amount to the number 84321. Why don't you stand up all over? I'm going to pray over this offering, and I'm going to invite you to come up and give. Father, I thank you for your goodness. We thank you you're alive and well. We thank you that you're blessing, Lord, all of those who are given today in obedience to your word. We praise you and thank you for the opportunity and the availability to give in Jesus' name. If you believe it, someone shout amen. Amen. Now come on, church family. Let's worship the Lord in our giving. You can text your amount you want to give. You can give online right now if you want to. But let's continue worshiping the Lord. Come on, you got a song for us?
Yes.
Kim, sing.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he's always watching over us, and he sent his son. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely? Long for heaven and home. When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow. Because I'm free, yeah. His eyes.
Just look at you all. I said, look at y'all. Man, I tell you what a blessing that it is to be with God's people on Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. And we welcome all of you that are watching us online. I tell you, we're just blessed, aren't we? Well, let's do our decree. I decree that I am saved. I am healed. I am delivered. I am protected. I am preserved. I am made whole. In the name of Jesus, and because Emmanuel lives, I expect every time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord, and man, oh man. Woo, glory. I'm excited. Aren't you? Praise God. You know, we never know what a day is going to bring. But you know what? When you trust God, you know everything's going to be all right. Thank God. I tell you, I'm just blessed. And I'm going to give you some reasons why I believe what I believe. Because people want to know, you know, they want proof. You know, well, if you could prove to me that there's a God, you know, all that stuff. But I'm so glad that many, many years ago that he found me. I was lost and undone, like that old song says, without God or his son, when he reached down his hand for me. But when you read the Word of God, there's so many proofs in the Word of God that lets us know that we serve the only true and living God. Amen. And when you think about it, in the book of Acts, I love this, and I'm going to read, it might be a little more lengthy than I usually read, but there's so much good here. It said, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, there was a lot of over 300 prophecies were given about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It said they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. Woo, glory! And when he was seen, many days of them which come up with him to Galilee, to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, see, he just didn't show up unexpected. God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalms, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. And then in the 10th chapter, it said, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things. Now, this is the disciples' song. We are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slain and hang on a tree. Him God hath raised up the third day and shown him openly, not to all people. God wasn't going to show himself to all people, all those that cried crucify him. But he said, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. I mean, here he is, the glorified Son of God, eating and drinking with them and having a good time. Can't you imagine what they say? Jesus, how did it feel to take the keys away from the devil? You know, I can imagine the things that they begin to ask him about his 3 days in the grave. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it
is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's what you're doing here today. You're here because you know that he has forgiven your sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. Can you imagine? I'm thinking about it. They're talking about him. They're talking about his resurrection, how they went out to supper with him last night, and how that he, you know, all the things that he said. And while Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Praise God. See, it is by the resurrection that Christ is declared to be the Son of God. If he hadn't risen from the dead, he wouldn't be no different than Muhammad or the other gods that people are serving. And this is the center of our Christian faith, that Jesus rose again. I mean, all skeptics down through the centuries, they have tried to prove that there was no resurrection because they knew that history recorded Jesus. They knew that history had recorded how he had raised the dead and how that he had healed the sick. And they knew all of this. But they didn't believe that he rose from the dead. So what they were trying to say, that the evidence of his resurrection has been, I mean, it has been examined more than any other fact of history, that Jesus was the resurrected Savior. You know, let me just give you a few things. There was a man by the name of Simon Greenleaf. He was a professor at the law at Harvard from 1833 to 1848. And Professor Greenleaf, who had been called the greatest authority on legal evidence in the history of the world. Now, this was no dummy. But after much study, history tells us that he concluded that anyone who examined the evidence would be convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a law professor at Harvard that tried to prove, that there was no resurrection. So it was with Frank Morrison. You read about him. He was a British lawyer also, and he set out to write a book to repudiate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was after he examined all the evidence. Thank you, honey. After he, went through all the evidence, he became a believer and wrote the book, Who Moved the Stone? Hallelujah. I mean, these are smart men that thought they were smarter than God, and they were going to prove that there was no God. Lee Wallace, he set out to disprove the deity of Christ and his resurrection, and ended up writing the famous book, Ben-Hur. These are men that had one goal in their life, and that was to prove that there was no resurrection. And all of these, all down through the centuries, I mean, people have proved that there was absolutely a resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, all down through the centuries, I mean, people have tried to discredit the word. They've tried to chain it to pulpits. They've tried to do everything that they could. But the Christian church is the largest institution that exists in the history of the world. How can you deny that this one man has made such an impact on this world, that men that are educated that have to say that he's alive? Hallelujah. There's more than 2.07 billion people today that confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. I want to tell you, and it grows every day. See, it is known by all historians that the Christian church, that you can trace it back to Jerusalem in 30 AD. Now, let's look at just a few of the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. You remember a few years ago, after they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, you can be sure that these prophecies were not conspired after the fact. but prior to the time that Jesus was coming to the earth. These predictions, I mean, they were written in numerous books by men like King David and Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Over a period of 1,000 years, these men have been moved on by the Holy Ghost and written things that prophesy that a Messiah is coming. The Messiah will be crucified. He will be put in a borrowed tomb. All of these things. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. He said, this is all. You remember when he went to get baptized and he went in the Jordan River and he told, Peter to John the Baptist. Yeah, that's it. He said, John, I want you to baptize me. And John said, no, Lord, you baptize me. He said, no, you got to baptize me that all of the predictions, all of the prophecies will be fulfilled. Now, listen to this. While he was dying on the cross, there was 12 prophecies that was fulfilled while he was dying. The first, the Bible said that he silenced before his accusers. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was pierced, his hands and his feet. He was crucified with thieves, praying for his persecutors, pierced his side, given gall and vinegar to drink, no broken bones, casting lots for his garments, buried in a rich man's tomb. All of these prophecies, and that's just 12 of them, and there's over 300 prophecies through the Word of God that proves that he has fulfilled all of them to be the only man. They said this would totally be impossible for one man to fulfill this many prophecies. Can you think about it? And he's our Savior. He's our Lord. He did not leave one jot, one tittle down. He prophesied and he lived every one of them. Thank you, Jesus. If that don't excite you, hallelujah. But the best part that he's prophesied, I mean, almost everything that he prophesied has been fulfilled. But here is the best thing. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want to tell you, that prophecy has to be fulfilled. And it looks like, I said, it looks like that we're almost there, church. It looks like the prophecies that he prophesied, he told the disciples, he said, don't be discouraged. He said, don't be worried, because I'm coming back. Oh, glory be to God. And I like it because he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel. Oh, glory. And with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. Oh, my God. In the clouds to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. No more quarantines. No more you can't buy this and you can't do this, but we'll be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know one thing? The Bible makes it very clear that he's only coming after those that have made themselves ready. We are the bride that he's coming back to get. Did you hear me? He come the first time, but as a son of man, when he come riding that borrowed donkey into the city. But he's coming again, riding a white horse with 10,000 of his saints following him, because he's the Son of God. Oh, he was born in a manger because he was a son of man. But I want to tell you again today that he's coming back again because he's God's Son. And he promised that to you and me. The Bible makes it very clear. Are you ready? Have you made yourself ready? He's coming after those that are looking at him and love his appearing. Oh, I tell you, I would love to see him come this morning. I'd love to see him and wake up and be in that air. Hear the trump of God. Oh, hallelujah. He's not coming after part-time Christians, church. He's not coming after those that, oh, I'd just soon stay here. I heard a woman say one time, well, I don't want him to come back. I'm happy just like I am. I thought, oh, God, you don't know the God that I know. You don't know the promises that he's given me, that what it's going to look like, that when we see our loved ones and we walk through that gate and put our feet on the streets of gold and I get to see my mama and my daddy again, I get to see my brothers and my sisters, but oh, there's one that I want to see, and his name is Jesus. He said I would see him for myself. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I don't have to take nobody else's vision of him. I'll get to see him and call him Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Church, we better get ready. Many treat this great salvation like they can just come in and go out whenever they want to. Oh, I think I'll go to church. No, I think I'll stay home. No, I think I'll do this. No, I think I'll... No, he's looking for somebody that's steadfast, that's unmovable, that's going to declare and be his witnesses. That's the reason the Bible said that he didn't show himself to many people, because he knew that everybody wasn't going to believe and everybody wasn't going to follow. But oh, he chose me and he chose you from the foundation of the earth. He knew that we would be here this morning. I said he knew that he could trust us, that they would be somebody that would stand and say, I'm ready to be offered no matter what it takes. I'm here to endure until the end, because that's the only ones that's going to make it, because there's going to be some things that we're going to have to endure, church. I said there's some things we're going to have to endure, but he said that ones that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Prophecies of his return are being fulfilled every day. Church, if you don't see the book of Revelations being fulfilled, then you're not looking. Did you hear me? You're not looking, because we're right on the edge of the mark of the beast. If you can't see that, you need to open your eyes and understand that everything that he prophesied is moving fast. We're on a fast train, church. We're getting ready to get out of here. It could be any day. Hallelujah. They're trying to find a vaccine, but I'm telling you what, I'm trying to find that way that only few find, and we're going to walk therein. Did you hear me? But remember, in order to be part of this raptured church, you must be born again. If there's someone that's listening to me today, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You know, those words are so powerful. When you think about people that we pass every day that has never heard that. So many times I've asked the people that I've, you know, witnessed to, have you ever heard the scripture, except a man be born again? No, we've never heard that. But it's up to you and me. It's up to us that we can get this message out. And that's the reason that he left this message to us. Because don't trust your religion. Don't trust your baptism. I mean, if you've been baptized when you was a little kid and all that, don't trust that. Don't trust just going to mom and daddy's church on Easter. That's not going to get it. I say you got to be dedicated, loving him. Don't trust anything, but he has to be your Lord. See, we call him Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? But I want to leave you with this thought. If there's anything more important in your life than doing the will of God, then that is your God. But the thing that has convinced me more than anything, the reason that I believe that He is the risen Savior, is because I've seen thousands of people come to the altar, a drunk, an alcoholic, with addictions, atheist, agnostic. People come to an altar and kneel down, and within just a few seconds, rise up and say, I'm free. The world don't have an antidote. I said the world doesn't have anything that can deliver a man or woman from their sins in an instant. And I remember my pastor used to give his testimony. His name was Johnny Carter. He was a man in the tri-state that everybody knew him. But he said he remembered when he was drinking with a bunch of his buddies. He said, we in our little church on Conover Hill, he said, I walked in there one night while they were having a revival. And he said, I was so drunk, I was staggering in to that church. And he said, when they made an altar call, he said, I was the first one at the altar, staggered my way to the altar. And he said, when I got up from there, I was a sober man, never drunk another drop of alcohol in my life. I've come to tell you, that's only because of a risen Savior. He's not dead, church. I said He's not dead. I talked to Him today, and He told me to tell you that all is well. All is well. Look at your neighbor. Talk with Him this morning. He's all right, glory. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, he said, I will come in and commune with him. Oh, have you opened the door today? You that are watching, have you accepted Him as your Lord and Master, your King of glory? If only man knew, if they only knew. See, when you think about the disciples, they're the ones that was with Him for 3.5 years. And then, at the end of His life, the Bible says they kind of just went back fishing and Peter doing his thing. And when you think about it, but after the resurrection, after they saw for themselves, after Thomas saw that he walked through the wall, didn't need a door, and he said, Thomas, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Because Thomas had made a statement. I'm not going to believe that He resurrected until I see it for myself. And Jesus said, look, Thomas, but blessed are those that have never seen and yet they believe. Think about the lives of those 12 men. Now, I want you to think about this. Because John was the only one of the original disciples not to die a violent death. Peter was crucified upside down. I mean, he said, no, don't crucify me like my Savior. Turn me upside down. Can you imagine? Do you think that he did that out of his doubts? Or maybe he did rise, or maybe he didn't. We don't know for sure. Do you think that he would say, crucify me upside down? Andrew, Peter's brother, was in Greece, and they said to him, if you will deny Christianity, we won't execute you. But when they didn't they crucified him by tying him to a cross. And after 2 days, he died while preaching to the people passing by. Think about that. Oh, God. James, the son of Zebedee. James was killed by the sword as he was being led to a place of execution. Listen to this. This is so good. And his accuser was so moved by his courage. He not only repented and accepted Jesus on the spot. I mean, think about this. James was being taken to a place of execution. And the man that was taking him there to be executed repented and got saved. And he asked, I want to be crucified with this man. He gave his life. Hallelujah. Philip, the first of Jesus' disciples, became a missionary in Asia. He traveled to Egypt, where he was scourged, thrown in prison, and crucified in 54 AD. Now, this is not something somebody made up. This is history. You can get it in your history book. Bartholomew preached in several countries where he translated the Gospel of Matthew for believers in India. He was skinned alive and beheaded. Think about it. And we think we're going through something. Thomas, after he saw the nail prints in his hand, preached in Greece and India and was killed by running him through with a spear. Matthew, the tax collector, turned missionary, was martyred in Ethiopia, where he was stabbed by a sword and a man sent by the king. And after he was crucified, the king's morals. James, he was beaten and stoned, then killed by hitting him in the head with a club. Thaddeus was crucified in Turkey. Simon preached in the west coast of Africa, where he was crucified in 72 AD. These men, think about what they had to believe because they had been with him after the resurrection. Think with me for just a moment. What if there had not been a resurrection? Death would be final. I mean, all mankind, we would have no hope. We would just die and turn into dust. No hope of ever seeing our loved ones again. We couldn't preach any more funerals and saying one day you're going to see him, one day you're going to be with him. What would we do with all the guilt of sin that we have on us if there was no resurrection? I can tell you for sure there wouldn't be any solid rock church if there had not been a resurrection. No hope of heaven. No hope that one day he's going to split those eastern skies and come back and get us. Paul said we would be of all men most miserable if we didn't have that hope. But I've come to tell you, we do have a hope. He's coming after his bride because he's the Son of God. Think about when he rode that borrowed donkey. It was because he was a man. But the next time he's coming back, think about it. Riding a white horse. All of us, maybe some of y'all scared of horses and can't ride a horse. That day will cure all of that. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in that crowd? Riding horses through and looking at the one that had the crown. He had a crown of thorns the first time, but he's got a crown tonight. Today he's got a crown that he's wearing, and one day that vesture dipped in blood, and he will be leading us to victory. Oh, the devil thought when he crucified him that it was over. But little did he know that he was going to have to give up his keys to death, hell, and the grave. And when he come out of that grave, hallelujah, glory be to God. I said, when he come out of that grave with victory, hallelujah. He was mocked as the King of the Jews. But I want to tell you, they're not going to mock him anymore. Hallelujah. Think about it. Think about it. The greatest thing that Jesus, that the Father ever did, was when he raised his son. Think about, and Phil mentioned this last night, think about how it must have been so hard on God to turn his back on his son while he was drinking that bitter cup of your sins and my sins. Think about when he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" But the Bible said that he looked beyond for the joy that was set before him. Joy, because the Bible said when one comes to repentance, there's joy in the presence of God. So he was looking at that joy when you repented. He was looking to that joy even though he was suffering and died. He was looking for you and me and seeing us repent and making him the Lord of our life. Never to die again. When he said to Mary and Martha, "Though a man be dead, yet shall he live." That word "yet" means not up until this time. Not up until this time. Would man live after they died? But though a man be dead, yet shall he live. Death has no victory over us, church. We're never going to die again. We might die in the flesh, but we're never going to die again. Stand with me. Yeah, we're going through a few little things. But last night when I was looking up about how all these disciples, what they went through, how they suffered all down through history, thousands upon thousands have died just like that. The early Christians, because they would not deny that he was the Son of God, were fed to lions. Their children, while the blood of their children was still in the sands of that arena, they died willingly because they knew the risen Savior. Think about it, church. We haven't suffered really anything. Given up a few of the nice things that we used to enjoy. But what if? What if somebody said, "Unless you put this chip in your hand, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. You're not going to buy food for your children." Think about it. Because one day somebody's going to have to face that. And it's coming pretty quick. But I want to be ready. I said, I want to be ready. I want to be looking for him. If he don't come this Easter, will we be here next Easter? Would have anybody have ever thought last year when we had 770 people for our Easter? Would we have ever have thought that people are being arrested right now for trying to go to church? Some of our dear
pastor friends are going to stand and go to jail today because they opened up their church doors. Would we have ever thought that? So we don't know what our tomorrow is going to bring. But I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Bow your head with me. And I'm just going to ask you those three words. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're not, you that are listening online, is there anything that would hinder you from not coming to Jesus today? If you don't know Him as your master, the one that leads you and guides you into all truth, if you don't know Him, wherever you are, in your living room, in your bedroom, wherever, hotel room, whatever, make your choice today, because we don't know what this coming year is going to bring to us. But one thing that we know for sure, once your sins are under the blood, you have the weapon to plead that same blood. That same blood is going to keep you safe. So today, if there's anyone in this building today, and you want to make something right with God, that there's things in your life that shouldn't be, but you want to give it up today and make things right with God, I want you to come and just stand, and you can space between and whatever. But I want you to come and just say, I want to make things right with my Savior. Because we don't know when night's coming. He said it'll come when no man can work. Our days of working are about up. Did you hear me? They're about up. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand right here in front of this altar. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise you, Lord. Phil, will you come and pray over these people here? Praise you, Lord.
Everybody lift up your hands with you. Say this with me. Father, I surrender my life to you. From this minute on, I announce to all that I believe you, Jesus, are the Son of God, that you died and rose again and paid all debts for every sin I've ever committed. So I repent right now, and I ask you to forgive me, and I receive your salvation into my life right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray over all of these people that are here. I speak blessings in the name of Jesus to every household, to every family, to every person. Let this be the beginning of the greater days of their life, and we give you praise for it in advance. And everybody that agrees, say amen.
Amen.
Now, you that have made a decision to serve Jesus, you know, when you're first born, you got to have someone help you, feed you, nurture you. That's what needs to happen in your life. Get into church, read the Bible, get around people who love you, who will pray for you. And you know, darling, would you hand me my Bible just for a minute? Everybody sit down for just a second. and my glasses so I for sure read it. Thanks, brother. You know, while Darlene was ministering, I started reading a couple of verses, and I just thought, if you got a pencil and paper, you might want to write these verses down because they'll encourage you. This is Mark's account right before Jesus took off from planet Earth. In Mark 16, verse 15, can you play strings? Paint it for me, would you? Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to some people, to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Those are pretty interesting words. And these signs shall follow them that believe. If you got a Bible, read this with me. Verse 17 of Mark 16. You ready? Let's read. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, those were the last words recorded. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with. Now, that word right there is in italics, so it was added by the translator. It'll help you if you read it without that word. You don't need the help. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. If that doesn't make you want to shout, your shouter is busted. Now I want to read you one more. This is John's account. Oh, man. Jesus said in John 21, verse, we'll start at 22. Jesus said unto them, if I will that he tarry till I come, who is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad, saying among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto them, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that the testimony is true. Here's the verse. And there are, in the Amplified, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. This is John talking. If they should all be recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain, have room for the books that would be written. We know that Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, did all kinds of great miracles. But here's the deal. In the Christian church, if we lose the miraculous ability of God in this world, we should not even call ourselves Christians. Because we have escaped going to hell, but we will live hell on earth. If you do not believe in the atonement, the blood that Jesus shed for you, because the word says, God so loved the world, you're in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That changes the ballgame, my friend. Don't let the world, your circumstances, some hellraiser talk you out of God's ability to heal you in a sick world. Do not let the government paint some kind of picture of doom and gloom for you, because you might live in the world, but you are a citizen of heaven. That is the word of God. That is why we come together unafraid in a time like this, because Jesus has already paid the debt for any sickness we would ever attain. All we have to do is appropriate it by faith. It's one thing. Look, demons believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus. But he doesn't get any miracle power out of his belief because he never puts a sound to his belief. He lost his faith a long time ago when he rebelled against God. So when you understand that it's one thing to believe, but you have to activate. It's like having a jet airplane sitting on the tarmac, and you can be full of gas. You can have your flight plan. You can have everything. You know where you're going. But until you ignite the engines, you ain't going nowhere. Until you ignite your faith, you will not receive from God. It's not about believing, but it's about acting on the faith that you have. Quit acting like the coronavirus is above Jesus. Give me a break. Jesus is above every name that is named, and the word says every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let there be 1,000 viruses. Let there be 10,000 viruses. They are not enough to stop the blood that was shed for you and me and still speaks to this day. Now, I'm going to read you one more verse and we're done. This is the verse you should maybe read once in a while. Revelation 1, everybody turn over there. Verse 5, starting. And from Jesus Christ, why don't you read it with me? And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Wait a minute. What is Jesus Christ a witness of? Huh? He's a witness to the resurrection power that raised him from the dead. He is a witness to God's plan and purpose for mankind. He is the witness. Just read on. You might want to shout before it's all over. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You're not washed by somebody else's blood. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Do you hear me? And has made us, say us, kings and priests, say it, unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Quit living your life like a servant and begin to live your life as a king. Because God made you through Jesus a king and a priest unto God. You're not under the gun of anything. You are raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the deal. And it will never change as long as you accept it. There's a lot of Christians that'll go to heaven and they'll live like servants all over. All over their life, all of their life, they live like, well, I'm a servant. Yeah, you are a servant, but Jesus made you a king and priest. He was the firstborn among many brethren. That includes sistren. You are a joint heir with Jesus. You are in the family of God. Jesus is our older brother. Come on. You got to get a hold of that. Religion doesn't ever get it, but it's in here. It's in the revelation. Duh. Get a revelation. It says, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion. 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 Jesus has dominion over cancer. He has dominion over corona. He has dominion over the devil. He has dominion over every name that is named. You hear me? Woo! Oh, man. But here's the verse I'm going to end with. He's made us kings and priests. Say it this way, he has made me a king and a priest unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. If your Father has dominion and you're in the family, what do you have? I didn't hear you. Then quit looking like Corona has dominion over you. Well, you say, well, what about the government? Well, you lend to Caesar, give to Caesar what Caesar's due. But Daniel went against the government, and they threw him in the lion's den. That's pretty bad. It had to really look weird to Daniel when he was walking in the lion's den, because he didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know. But he just knew, I trust God. I don't know how he's going to end this Corona deal, but I trust God. They put him in the lion's den. Can you imagine the first couple of minutes? The lion's looking at Daniel. Daniel's looking at the lion. But then he began to look upward. Because you look up, your help doesn't come from below you. Your help comes from above you. He began to look up, and there was some kind of record that said, you know, some kind of supernatural power closed the mouth of the lion. Well, if a supernatural power closed the mouth of the lion, don't you think it can close a little bug? I think so. Oh, y'all didn't get it. Y'all are still too quiet. Okay, everybody stand up. We're going to end. We're going to end right now with this verse. This is the verse, man. If it ain't underlined in your Bible, shame on you. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. This is the thing. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now let's give the Lord the praise of the whole evening.
Now wait a second. If I may, I want to stay in that same chapter, Revelation chapter 1. Verse 16, and he that had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun that shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, and he laid his right hand upon me. He said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Somebody shout, it's not over. I want you to understand something. The only thing that the enemy can do is put up doors. But I know the locksmith this morning. And there's no door he doesn't have the key to. Isn't your heart full today? Those of you that are watching online, we're so glad that you joined us here today. We miss you. But I believe that this is coming to us soon. This is coming to an end very soon, very quickly. We're going to be together. You know, I heard something. I saw yesterday on Fox News that actually the Department of Justice for our administration is actually cracking down on any local governments that would try to restrict people from gathering together. For a godly president, that'll just let pastors call it as they see it. Amen. Let them do as they feel like the Lord has called them to do. God's not done with this. We love you. Those that are here, we love you if you're watching online. And we're believing that this thing's going to come to an end. I'm going to pray over you. We're going to rejoice in our risen Savior. We're going to bind this spirit, this virus, and we're going to believe that joy and peace and healing is going to be released across this nation and across this world. Do you believe it? Yeah. Come into agreement with me. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for the powerful word that was spoken, Lord. God, that you would open up the eyes of this world. For, Lord, the evidence that we find in your word that was given so well by our pastor today, Lord, how can people not believe? I pray you open up their eyes to see. Lord, that you are the risen Savior, and you have all power in your hands. And, Lord, because of that power, you have given us, Lord, the keys to every virus, to every sickness, to every bondage, Lord, that this world could ever come across and cause us to face. Lord, no, there's no mountain too high or valley too low. We believe, Lord, your victory, as Pastor Phil has even said today, Lord, your victory has given us authority over everything that we may face. And, Lord, we step into that today, and we thank you, oh God. You have not left us alone. Not only have you prepared a place for us and are preparing a place for us, but you declare we will live abundant life while we're here. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your resurrection. We declare all these things, healing over our world, healing over our nation. Lord, we proclaim that this thing must come down in the name of Jesus, and that when it's all said and done, you will get the glory, Father. We praise you for your goodness in Jesus' awesome name. If you believe it, somebody shout amen. God bless you, church family. We love you. If you're watching online, we love you. Y'all stay safe. Be healthy in the name of Jesus. We'll see you soon.